America, America. Hello, fuck yeah, listeners. Today we're going to talk about America. America is an interesting one to me because I've kind of, you know, I was raised here. I'm born and raised in Missouri, never really left. Thought about leaving a few times, never quite made it work. And so now I'm one of them old people that never left their hometown, basically. Technically, I did. I live 8 miles from my hometown, which I always looked at as a bad thing. And then after the way COVID's been handled in some of the big cities where, you know, supposedly all the enlightened people went, I realized that I'm kind of happy I'm still just a redneck dipshit living in Missouri, because I don't feel like I got completely fucked by the government on nearly as much here. So America, you know, evokes all kinds of emotions and responses, but it's just a word. And, you know, that flag is just a photon emitter, just, you know, just red, white, and blue. We can assign whatever meaning we want to those things. And I guess I'm going to start out by going contrary to what I believed even just 5 or 10 years ago. And I'm going to ask this question. Why would a person choose to define a symbol by its worst feature? And, you know, we could call it, here's an example, we could call it a child murderer, we could call it a food deliverer, or we could just call it a car. These are all the same thing. And no one says, hey, kids, get in the child murderer, we have to get to daycare on time. People say, let's get in the car. Well, why don't we just pick the most negative aspect of the car? Because cars kill lots of kids. I mean, way more than COVID, I guarantee you that. I can't wait till they ban cars. That'll be a fun one. The same thing as a communist using their iPhones, you know, whatever. Anyway, so, but back when I was 20, 20-ish, in my, you know, the early 2000s, I defined America by Dick Cheney and Hillary Clinton. And even now I'm kind of guilty of that, you know, like I just found out about Project Phoenix about a year ago. Don't go down that rabbit hole. Not good. Not good. Just telling you right now. I almost bought the book. I mean, I didn't even read the book. Don't even read the fucking wiki. It's bad. Project Phoenix is one of the most disgusting stains in American history. So, do we define America by Dick Cheney, Hillary Clinton, and Project Phoenix? Well, again, do we call a car a child murderer? I mean, you can. And so I think I really fucked up when I was really focusing on America's shortcomings. And all the crazy wars and the debt and even the inflation, is all these, you know, the corruption via politics, these things are huge problems. I think they're all solvable, although I don't know if we have the balls to solve them. But they're all solvable. But without a doubt, I don't think that's the only thing we should be focusing on if we're going to define this noise called America, you know, or that photon emitter called the flag. So. And these days I'm wrestling with quite a bit this debate between optimism and pessimism, trust versus distrust, particularly when there's not enough truth, clear truth. I mean, we can go outside and it's pouring fucking rain, then you can say it's raining. That's pretty obvious. That's pretty close to true. But what if we don't have enough information? And so, for example, you got to have trust to put money in the bank. But here's the thing. My dad, he never had a bank account. He died 7 years ago. So 2014, he died. 2014, that dude did not have a bank account. He didn't trust him. They're going to fuck him. They're going to steal his money. The government's going to come and, you know, and send the Navy SEALs into his trailer, of all things, out in Appleton, Missouri, population one. And and they're going to take his shit. And if you, basically, my dad had zero trust in the system. I think he had zero loans. I mean, he lived off the grid in many ways, which it sounds appealing a little bit some of the time. Until you realize what it takes to build a house, or it's fine if you build this huge business from scratch and then you have the money and blah, blah, blah. But in the modern system, we're really lucky to have things like a loan, because almost nobody has the cash to just build the thing they want or buy the thing they want. And in the old times, It's a Wonderful Life kind of got into that a little bit. If you couldn't get a loan in the old times, you just lived in a shack. It's like that really did happen in the 30s, you know, 90 years ago. So that kind of thinking of zero trust, trust no one, trust nothing. I think that works with like the Lone Mountain Man, you know, those guys that would go collect beaver skins like 1820 or whatever. Of course, even then they got to bring the beaver skins back and you got to trade. And even then you got to trust somebody. But the thing is that approach to life is a surefire way to be completely alone. And, well, you know, and if you have zero trust, you'll never buy a donut. You'll never let a girl put your cock in her mouth. Imagine that. She might bite the damn thing off. Could you imagine refusing blowjobs because your trust of humanity is so low? So that's a pretty pessimistic approach. And most of us, opportunity arises, we're going to go with trust in that regard. You know, why wouldn't you? How many people have had their cocks bitten off? Like 100? You know, out of 7 billion people or whatever. So if you have, lost my train of thought. So, and you got to trust your wife or you're surely going to be in hell. And there are people that don't trust the person they're married to. And it's like, well, how the fuck do you even live? Like, I mean, in a way, like, what's the point of even living? And you may not trust them to get the yard mowed or to do the dishes or whatever, but just in general, are they going to betray you completely? And if you can't say, no, I trust my wife, you're fucked. So, I have a problem now where when I drive on the road, I don't really trust anyone. I don't think anyone pays attention. And so I'm fucking stressed out just driving in like 20 miles an hour anymore. And I'm not like decapitatedly stressed out. I mean, I'm still functional. I can use the interstate, but I just don't like the people near me. It's a problem. And I make do, but just face the fear and do it. But, and even like the COVID vaccines was a good one. You know, I certainly don't trust pharmaceutical companies. I can't imagine anybody would, but obviously the people are. But I don't trust the anti-pharmaceutical types either. I don't think they're working on any higher ground morally than the pharmaceuticals. They want their points they get for calling out the conspiracy, the little social brownie points, and the pharmaceuticals want their points called money. I think both sides are competing for points, which is kind of the case with everything, I guess. But so in the end, I made a gamble. I did not have enough truth in regard to COVID vaccines. And so I rolled the dice and went, yeah. I went and got the fucking thing reluctantly. But, everything good, though, requires a gamble. And like, everything good can turn out bad. But gambles can go wrong. And how many times do you have enough truth? I mean, when do you even get 50% truth? On a given topic, you got to make tough decisions, and a lot of that just means guessing, and it's hard, and it's kind of just what life is. So let's take this back to with America. Like, we have a few clear truths. We know America has tons of corruption. Like, there's no denying that. And if you don't think that, then you're fucking crazy. Now, compared to other countries, that's another debate. We in general, republics tend to have less corruption than a lot of the broke ass third world countries do. Their corruption is horrifying. But regardless, America has a lot, whatever that number is. It's not zero. It's too high. America has a military and CIA CIA? That's ran by psychopaths with no accountability. Without a doubt, whoever's running shit in those two organizations, the military and the CIA, they're out of their fucking minds. We got to find a better way to get good people there. And maybe we never will. I don't know. Same problem with politicians, I guess, too. But here's the deal. America's also where Thomas Edison and Jimi Hendrix grew up. That's where the transistor and silicone tits were invented. I'm not even a fake tit guy, but I'm just glad they're there, you know? I don't like a lot of things, whatever. I don't drink wine. I'm glad it exists, I think. So I think America is the only country where you can call a large lesbian a fat dyke, not go to jail. And not that I would ever call fat dykes that. I would never call fat dykes that word, the phrase. And America is the only country where you could call a king a fat dyke. How about that? And not even go to jail. I don't know how it is like in Britain, but I mean, in general, there are very few countries where you can say, hey, King Abu Dhabi, you are a fat dyke. The most places that still cut your head off, even in 2021. My brain's still stuck in the old story. So, and that's the thing too, if you want innovation, well, you look at America first. It's just in our DNA. Something about this culture invents shit. And they've invented things in other countries, but as a whole, per capita, America invents way more shit than other people. We got this thing they call rugged individualism. It's a cliche. I don't know exactly what it means, but I really like it. I know I'm individual as fuck, independent as fuck. What does that mean? I don't know. Whatever. I don't ask for help much. Fuck you, I'm busy. So, and the movers and shakers in America go really fast. And this is something that I noticed when I was in New York City years ago. Everybody walks my speed. I have a certain speed I walk. It's the fastest fucking speed you can go and still call it walking. Maybe it's like speed walking in the Olympics almost. Like I want to go maximum walking speed. I have shit to do. In New York City, I was like finally in my lane, and it was actually relaxing. You know, the hard part about, you know, any traffic of any kind is when different people are going different speeds. But if everybody's on the same page, everybody's going 30, well, then it's more like just a train. And, you know, everybody's like riding an airplane. It's wonderful. So, and you know, I've heard it takes 12 days to get your plumbing fixed in Brazil. And that same bullshit article I read, you know, said that it's like 3 or 4 hours is the average in the U.S. I don't know if I believe that or not. It's probably horseshit. But I like the idea of it. I think the concept is probably true. I think we fucking get with it in America. So that's kind of exciting. I like getting with it. If I'm doing something fun, you know, shit stuff. Different deal, I guess. But you can start like a lawn mowing business in the U.S. And you don't have to even bribe people. And you hear these stories, again, particularly in third world countries, where if you want to do anything, you want to start a snow cone stand, good luck, you're going to have to bribe 200 people. It's like, how are you going to get the ice? Or are you going to get the wheels for your cart? I mean, all these things require bribery, or the guy with the machine gun will just kill you. And that's a major problem. We don't think about how lucky we are. And America has way too much red tape, but we have way less than most countries. So you can kind of draw, you know, figure out where you want to be on that. You can cry because we have too much. And certainly we should reduce it, but you could also be happy that it's better than other places. I don't know if that relative view of a country is a good thing or not, but I think just being appreciative of the fact that it could be way worse has value in this particular little case of analyzing America. In America, you can own land. And I didn't think it was a big deal until I heard about what Bolivia does. Bolivia doesn't have property rights, like not like we do. And this is like, I think, in the Latin America world in general. I'm not sure case by case, country by country. But here in America, you can own a piece of dirt. And then once it's yours, you're protected by the law, by the, you know, the courts or whatever. After you fill out all the bullshit forms, then no one can come take it. I mean, if you don't own it, like the bank owns it, they can take it. But if you own the land, it's yours. So I'm trying to imagine how you could possibly build a house or start a business on a piece of dirt that somebody else could just come and say, I think I want this. And you're like, no, it's mine. What do you mean? There is no mine. Oh, okay, go ahead. Like, see, it sounds crazy to me to not have property rights. And that kind of gets into the Founding Fathers thing, like figuring out things like property rights is something they figured out, you know, was it over 200 years ago. And it's amazing how lucky we are to have these philosophical constructions, because if we didn't have them, holy shit. So, and also here, you know, in America, like food, people, I hear this all the time, like, people eat at McDonald's because it's cheap. No, it's not. McDonald's costs a fucking fortune. Taco Bell, for me and two kids and the wife, $32 the other day. We can grill good meat and steam some broccoli for like, I don't know, $8 or something, and we'll have leftovers. You know, don't tell me eating fast food is cheaper than eating clean. It's not. Not by a long shot. I guess it depends on how you define clean. But regardless, food in America is cheap. And I've never seen anyone getting eaten by a crocodile by getting a glass of water. Go to your kitchen sink, turn on the water. Does a crocodile jump out? No. It's fucking awesome here. And yeah, you could bitch about the chemicals in the water. And maybe there's some merit in knocking that down a little bit or not using all those chemicals. So what? I've never been eaten by a crocodile. I'd rather have bleach and fluoride than crocodiles in my house. Something to think of. Again, relative, maybe we need to fix that a little bit more. But regardless, I like it. It could be way worse. Way, way worse. So, and back to the Founding Fathers real quick. I wish they could come, you know, get the DeLorean, come to 2021, rewrite the Constitution, just fill in the gaps where they fucked up. There's probably like three sentences they left out that would completely plug all the little cracks, which, you know, those little cracks expand and the pharmaceuticals jump in and blow the fucking thing up. I would love to see if they could come back. And we have philosophers now. We have people that are, you know, probably just as smart, but they don't seem to be united, and maybe they're all at universities, maybe they're all pussies. You know, whatever that combination the Founding Fathers were, it really was magical from like a purely philosophical standpoint. And so I'm trying to figure out why people out in the country wave the flag. They put it on their big-ass trucks, put it in their yards, and then people in the city just don't. You will not see very many flags you go to the city. I was in St. Louis all last weekend. I don't think I saw one fucking flag. Not of the United States. You can go to Kelso, Missouri, and see 29 flags. In case you're wondering, Kelso, Missouri has a population of like 500 people. It's a tiny little town. So I wish I knew what was going on there. I can't quite figure it out. But, you know, I kind of had some misgivings about the flag when I was younger, because I thought if you waved that flag, then you were just completely ignorant of everything America does wrong. And like, well, Project Phoenix and the way Vietnam, and I mean, you could go down the list. All the, what is it, nation building, ha-ha. All the empire building, it's probably a better term. But it almost seemed like I don't give a fuck if America's out murdering people. I got a flag. It felt that way. It felt kind of dumb. Like, why aren't you aware of our flaws too? But then on the other hand, and this is kind of where I'm at more today, these days. This is something probably the past few years. I've kind of learned that if you're not waving the flag, well, maybe you're kind of ignoring a lot of America's strengths. And maybe you don't appreciate the gold mine you've been handed. And when I think about it right now, I think both feel criminal. It's wrong to wave the flag, and it's wrong not to. And let me repeat that, as I've just contradicted myself highly. It's the money is finding that balance between optimism, pessimism, trust, distrust, and basically understanding the incredible gift we've been given for those of us who live in America, but then also understanding the shortcomings. And so I'm not saying you shouldn't wave the flag. I'm not saying you have to wave the flag. I don't really care what you do, but there's something about both that we've read into it through that behavior too much. I have. Where I look at somebody who's waving the flag and I'm like, are you retarded or disappreciative? Or both? Or neither? I don't know. You know, a big part of this whole analysis of America I found interesting was when COVID hit, and a lot of people were so excited. You know, China knocked out that virus in 2 weeks or whatever. Yeah, they just put a machine gun in everyone's fucking mouth and said, if you take one breath, we're going to blow your fucking brains out. I don't think I want that. And so, yeah, okay, it's whatever, a year and a half almost. And America still hasn't really nuked, quote unquote, COVID. And I'm kind of fine with that. You know, I don't want anyone to die. I don't want anyone to get sick. But I'm kind of fine with what got us here. And, you know, when COVID hit there in 2020, March or whatever, when it hit the news at least, there were people that are like, well, first off, you had like this people that were just completely ignorant. Like, I ain't wearing no fucking mask. And you go, well, why? And it was really just because they didn't want to. They didn't have an answer. They didn't like being told what to do, which that in itself is not a great answer, but it ain't terrible either. Having a country where there's quite a bit of few people that don't like being told what to do isn't a bad thing. In fact, it's the kind of people that reject dumb shit ideas. Now, and then you had other people that would argue, okay, the mask has holes that are way too big to have any significant impact on the actual virus. That makes some sense, although the mechanical engineering of it doesn't hold up completely to me. If you slow down the flow of the Mississippi River, then you also slow down the boats on it. But regardless, you know, I don't know. I'm not a mechanical engineer. I don't know fluid dynamics, so I can't really say yet. Although, maybe I'll learn that one of these days. But you had people that were much more intelligent and said, okay, it really didn't have any effect. Like, scientifically, biologically, the masks don't do anything. But it's a symbol to get us all to kind of, it was a bone we could chew on while this COVID thing worked itself out. At least we could open up, you know, Lowe's and McDonald's again or something, essential businesses or whatever. It doesn't matter. In the end, we got these groups of people that are all quite different in their thinking. And I'm kind of glad we have all of them. And okay, like the 18 dumbest people on Twitter, they're really annoying. But so are the 18, you know, dumbest right-wing types, you know. No one in the right wing likes the 18 dumbest ones. And no one in the left wing likes the 18 dumbest ones either. Like, everybody's got this club, and there's this, you know, this group, and then there's people in it you wish you could kind of kick out. And so I think that's a big part of America, too, where by not everyone listening, not everyone getting the vaccines, I think it's a good thing. I think we need to have that option. If you think it was stupid to not get vaccinated, which that's a kind of a strong point of view, I think. But even if you think that, like, the alternative is we could go China and we can force everybody to comply. But guess what? You lose. You lose Dr. Dre. You lose CCR. America is no longer innovative, and we're no longer crushing it in arts and culture. You give up that stuff. You give up the iPhone. You're not going to make the next whatever the iPhone is going to be in 100 years or whatever. It won't work if everybody's got a gun in their mouth. I promise you that. And so for all the griping about lack of diversity, America is the only country that I know of they call the melting pot. And so why aren't the diversity types all bitching about the lack of black people in Sweden? Sweden isn't diverse enough, people. Why aren't we fixing this? How do you do that? I don't know. without guns and cattle prods. Tell me how you fix diversity. So in the end, is there a better place to live than America? And if there is, then why aren't we living there? Right now, I'm kind of happy being here. I'm not saying it's the best, and I'm well aware of most of America's flaws, and I'd like to fix every single one of them. I would like to see Hillary Clinton and Dick Cheney, to get a real trial. How about that? I'll stop there, because one can imagine all the nooses and firing squads and lethal injections that might be appropriate. So in conclusion, I think it's a flaw to ignore America's strengths, and I think it's a flaw to ignore America's flaws. I think both are responsible. Both are the right thing to do. But more importantly, right in that middle ground where optimism and pessimism meet, that's where the real money is. So I'm Team America. America. Fuck yeah.